Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer Soderblom, VASD's Public Information Officer. Today we're flipping the script on In the Loop with the Soup, and two Verona Area High School students, Reese and Rhea, are here to interview Dr. Clarity. Hello, Dr. Clarity.
How you doing, Marcy?
Good. You ready to be on the interviewee side today?
Yeah, it's always fun when I get to control the pace, but now I got to sit back and let it happen. But I'm excited for the opportunity. We have two great scholars in front of us that I know is going to make this a great podcast.
That's right. So listeners, it's your chance to learn a bit more about what makes Dr. Clarity tick and his path to be named the 2026 Wisconsin Superintendent of the Year. Welcome to you, Reese and Rhea.
Hi, it's Hello. Nice to be on here. I'm excited.
We're glad you're here. And before you launch into your interview with Dr. Clarity, could you share with our listeners what year in school you are and what are your favorite classes or interests and what happens next for you after high school?
Yeah, so my name is Rhea. I'm a senior in high school this year. Some of my favorite classes, I really like AP Psychology because, I don't know, I'm big on lectures, but we still do a lot of demos, so it's really fun. And then I really like yearbook because I get to be really creative and innovative in that class. And I hope in the future, next year, hopefully, I want to attend a four-year college. I'm still undecided on what I want to do, but yeah, I'm excited.
I'm Reese, and I am also a senior this year, and I'm hoping to enter the field of education. So all of my classes that are my favorite include like working with children and introduction to educational careers, because they both kind of let me do what I love, and I'm very passionate about that.
Excellent. Great. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we are ready for you to be the interviewees so that our listeners can learn about Dr. Clarity. So go ahead and get started.
All right, Dr. Clarity, looking back at high school, what experiences or classes, advanced or otherwise, shaped your desire to keep learning at a higher level?
First, thanks for having me on, I guess, my own show, which is really cool to sit here and just really be able to reflect. And you asked me to go all the way back to high school, which is it's a journey. I'm not going to put my age out here, but that was a long time ago. But high school was meaningful for me, obviously. I think high school shapes everyone, and both for in good ways and also some lessons learned along the way. So I'll start out with the classes. I've always loved the sciences. You know, I've really leaned into biology because I just like to understand just kind of the way the body work, health, and things of that nature. I was also a member of FFA, Future Farmers of America. And growing up on a small farm in Texas, you had to know it for real reasons, for life reasons, but to be able to bring that into the classroom setting was cool. And I was also learned a lot of the just day-to-day skills that don't necessarily have to pay somebody to do for me. So those were fun. I'm gonna name a class that I think it was very inappropriately titled but this was, I didn't put this in the space, but I went to high school in Texas, so there's just some different mindsets, especially a few decades ago. But I took a class that was called Bachelor Living, and it's just FACE. I don't know why they call it Bachelor Living.
Yeah.
But they actually divided it by gender. You could, all males went into Bachelor Living, and then our female scholars went into a class called Home Ec. Don't ask me why they did this. This is Texas in the 90s.
Yeah.
But just when I think back about it, I say, why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you split, like, as if there were almost gender roles?
Yeah.
But within there, I did learn how to cook and sew, so I can do those day-to-day skills. So that actually the content was great, but it also began to sit in my head, help me understand disproportionality, and help me understand why are we trying to identify roles even as is happening to you as a young person. And I think that has really helped me think about how I lead and ensure that you don't stigmatize anyone based off any type of demographic makeup. So it was, you don't know that lesson's being taught, but it was definitely taught early on just by experiencing it myself.
Yeah.
I feel like that class would not be happen at our high school.
No, it definitely wouldn't happen. Yeah. Not on our watch.
We do have a lot of cool electives though. There's so many options. There's so many classes I feel like too that I haven't obviously I'm a senior, so I've had like 4 years here, but there's so many classes I wish I could have taken and there's not enough time. But that's what I appreciate too about Verona, is that there's just such a wide selection. So
Absolutely. Opportunity for everybody. That's what we like to promote.
Can you share the key moments in your journey that led you to pursue a doctor of education and become superintendent?
Yeah, of course. It's really how my professional life and my personal life kind of became intertwined. Anyone ask me, there's not a conversation I'm going to have about, you know, my professional journey that does not include, you know, just my superhero, which is my mom. And, you know, just the, she was a teenage mom and, you know, made some tough decisions when, you know, she was young, but always focused on the two things that she could control, which was giving me a great loving care and also ensuring that I focused in on education and public education. And so my journey, while it has enhanced professional growth, is also a tribute simultaneously for all the sacrifices that she made for me. And just thinking about, you know, having to work two or three jobs just to make things, just to try to get me into some daycares and things like that. You don't know that you're owing it to somebody, but you do owe it to someone to give it everything that you can along the ways. And I love learning. I feel like I'm a lifelong learner. I still learn. I read every single day to try to learn something new. So the doctorate is kind of the capstone, is as high as you can go in education, but you don't, in terms of titles, but in terms of knowledge, it just keeps me motivated. So just to be able to put those letters in front of my name is always this space of me actually giving her a tribute. Every time someone says the doctor with the clarity behind it, it's for her. And so she can always have that mindset of what, you know, decision she did, and her journey wasn't for naught. And, you know, I think if I can inspire anyone to give that to someone that they call their superhero in their life, please do that.
Yeah.
Because that's what that means the most. But also you have to have the self-motivation and want to do it. So,
yeah,
so I say, when I say those two worlds intertwine, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
She's one of our fastest listeners. So as soon as this is published, she'll hear it.
I'm sure she's so proud of you though.
Yeah. She's a great woman. And you know, she's always having, when is your next podcast coming out? Because she's,
I love it.
She wants to be the first one on there. So now she's going to be like, who are these two young ladies?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. What skills or habits developed in your early academic life helped you succeed in your advanced degree programs?
Again, it was just that I was a really deep reader. And I am a pre-internet access type student.
No chat.
Yeah. and so a lot of the things that were above and beyond the classroom were just from reading encyclopedias and understanding, you know, the journey. Like I just sat down because I was bored and taught myself to do the American Sign Language alphabet.
Wow.
Because it was in an encyclopedia on a couple of pages, and I just, oh, that's cool. So I
and I
can still, you know, still do it because it was just out there. I also always had these dreams. Like I wanted to be able to make sure that I could thrive on the smallest farm or in the biggest city. And I feel very comfortable. Like I can go to New York City and do everything and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or else I can sit on a farm and ride my horse and just relax. And I'm perfectly okay there too. So, you know, those habits are really what helped me succeed. I'm highly motivated and probably competitive to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'll compete anything, you know, like some people like let their kids win in games when you're a parent. I don't, you know, I'm just like, you know, if you're going to beat me in Candyland, you better win.
Yeah.
Earn it. And that's I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's just kind of who I am. I was a athlete in high school, so I just super, super competitive. If you ever heard about Friday night football in Texas, it's an event like no other. And the pressures, our head coach there, they get a rented house on the campus of the high school, and if you lose your house, you know, if they fire you, and that's just the way the stadiums hold, you know, 10 to 12,000. It's huge. So there's that competitive fire was real, and I just love to compete. And so whether it was competing in athletics or competing academically, it was just always seeing if I could challenge myself to go to the next level. And, you know, for all the, and there were some naysayers that a person of my socioeconomic status and a person of my race was not supposed to succeed. And like, okay, watch.
Yeah.
So that's always been a motivation as well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Something that I think like has really helped me throughout my like academic career, I guess, like even from when I was really young, is just like, instead of looking at like my sports and my academics too is like something that, oh, I have to get through this, like another practice, another test, another assignment, looking at as more of like a privilege. Like I am excited to like go learn every day and like go to practice and stuff. So yeah, I see like that's obviously like I've seen in myself too, like that's helped me get really far in where I am now. So yeah, that's cool hearing about your journey.
Yeah, it's a, I'm glad you're living life that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Students often think that advanced coursework only means AP.
Mm-hmm.
How can advanced coursework in areas like music, art, theater, or career and technical education be just as powerful as AP in preparing students for the future?
Yeah, we're glad you asked that question. You know, and while we definitely promote higher education, it's not the only pathway that's out there. You know, if you or when you have to have someone come in and fix something in your house and it's $400 an hour, you wish you had the career tech skills to be able to do yourself. So when you're thinking about, you know, the arts and theater and CET, there's just those, the opportunity to go deeper and to continue to push yourself on a daily basis and something that you love. I think that's why electives are so powerful in our school system, because it's wrapped around a passion and it's wrapped around something that, you know, you can see yourself doing for forever. The ability to walk away with licensures, you know, especially around career and tech, or to, you know, when you think about the running school history, why, and the opportunities, why not go to Juilliard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not go to the highest level of dance and performance? You know, and so I love the way you answered that, or you stated before, you know, you wanted to challenge yourself. And what I would ask our students to do is just continue to, why not me?
Yeah.
You know, why not me at the next level? There's so much talent in our district, you know, from the arts to the athletics spaces to our career tech. If you go to walk down the CTE, some of the things that have been built, my gosh, you know, people that are 20 years into the craft can't do some of the things that are happening there. So I'm very appreciative that our community has invested us with facilities that allow us to have these things. Now that those investments are there, I think it's incumbent on us to continue to push, now take advantage of it, because it's not an opportunity that every student gets across our state or even across our nation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you talked before a little bit about like making strides for, you know, your race, because people might, you know, think that you can't do it. And so I'm going to follow that up and ask, like, why is it so important that every student has access to advanced opportunities, regardless of background or starting point?
Yeah. You know, if you ask me, if I had to narrow down what I am most proud of being able to do, is to remove barriers. There's, you know, there's the awards and all the stuff that we get credit for, but when you talk about the opportunity to remove any barrier and allow access for any student that wants to thrive and wants to be engaged in programming, or just wants to take that next step, it is ultimately our responsibility to make sure that access is there. And that also means asking very tough questions about when you design a program, you know, who is benefited, but also who's getting harmed, you know, when you talk about access in terms of, you know, scheduling sometimes can be an issue if you're building classes around where someone can access. Transportation can be an access in terms of just where we're a very large district in terms of property in our municipalities. And if you can't get there just because of transportation, then that's a barrier. So how do we close those gaps? So when you think about our equity framework, which really guides our work, and when we look through the lens of removing demographic barriers, I don't want anyone to not have access because of socioeconomics or race or any type of identity status. Like, and I want you to feel welcome and included in our environments. That is crucial. That when you walk into a physical space, you shouldn't have to wonder if I belong here. You should know that you belong here, and this place is what wait for you. So there's the physical, but there's also the mental space that we have to put ourselves in, that making sure that our staff and our peers are understand the importance of including everyone into our environment, and no one wants to feel like or be the one that's considered the other. And that's a passion. I could talk forever on that, but I only got 20 minutes. But I can go forever on that.
Yeah. I think that's I think that we're very fortunate to have a superintendent who kind of does everything with the forefront of equity. And I think, especially, you know, myself being biracial, it's really nice to know that, like, there's other people who are like me who do great things. And, like, especially since I'm hoping to enter education, it's just very, like, it kind of is very nice to be able to see that.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that you said that you're coming to education. Was that to
get your education?
Absolutely. I want you. That's the best dream. Is if your students, one of your own students comes and takes your seat, that's an honor. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you had already talked before about why not me, like helping students build up the courage to take advanced coursework. Mm-hmm. But do you have any more advice to give to students who are hesitant to take a challenging AP music, art, or CTE course because they don't see themselves as advanced?
Yeah, I know it often starts with the internal belief, but, you know, when you get to know our staff, which I hope every student does, we have some amazing staff here in the Runners School District that want you to do well, and will do everything possible to make sure that you mm-hmm. thrive. You know, giving the extra time, giving feedback, breaking things down in a different way, allowing more time for some work. So don't be afraid to challenge it because you're worried about, you know, some grade or some type of feedback that's not going to be an A the first time. that's fine.
Yeah.
And because, you know, if your first grade is an A, you don't have anywhere to go. when you start class. And, you know, we get into this space where there's the perceived competitiveness of the GPA, like of the 4.0, and we want high GPAs for college access, but it's really the selection of courses that colleges are really focused on. Did this person challenge themselves? Did you try a wide variety? Mm-hmm. When you write your essay, did you talk about how they impacted your, not just that class, but how they impacted your life? I mean, here, like 30 years ago, you know, I'm still talking about this class that, you know, that framed a mindset for me. So understand that there's never a situation where you will walk on a journey by yourself in the Rural Area School District. And that means just give it a try. You know, if you think about like great educators, like we have hundreds, but like Heather Thorpe, you know, who in our department, she'll just say, just try once. I got you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to let you fail. I'm not going to let you. Yeah. You know, when you go into our CTE departments, they're not just going to let you. If you're giving effort, our staff's not going to let you fail. They're gonna meet you halfway and probably go a little more than halfway to make sure they guide you on the process. So my words are just try it.
Yeah.
If you can believe it to be, make it be, you know.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I've taken, I think, around like 7 APs throughout my high school career. And I think something that's really like helped me succeed in all of those classes, all those areas of like education, is mostly because like my teachers, I think, I don't know, they just pushed me. Like, obviously, I think there's a lot of people that think of advanced as, oh, that means like I can't do it, but advanced is supposed to challenge you. That's the purpose. And I think after every AP I've taken, I've come out like stronger because of it, and it's because my teachers have pushed me to push myself too. So
absolutely.
Yeah
absolutely. And I think we're given too as like students lots of like wonderful opportunities to like, you know, get help if we need to come in before school. There's so many different ways that you can reach out, so just making sure that you like advocate for yourself, and like, you know, if something's hard, don't just give up. Like, ask for help, and there was so many different ways that the teachers are willing to help.
Yeah.
And so, just advocating, I think, is a big thing that I learned through APs as well.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we think about student agencies right in the front center of our strategic framework, the ability to articulate what you need and be able to ask. No one's going to tell you no when you're trying.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen within our system.
Yeah. I think that would also help you just throughout the future too. Just
Absolutely.
Always knowing how to
advocate.
last question. If students remember one message about why advanced coursework matters, no matter the subject, what should it be?
It's really about the engagement and the willingness to push yourself to an area that you may not necessarily originally be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear the phrase push yourself out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens with, you know, physical training for athletics. You know, right. if you only train before you get tired, you're never going to be a great athlete or getting any better. And the same way the mind works. If you only push your mind to the level of comfort and not challenge yourself to take that next step, then it kind of stays in that space. So while you're taking that challenge on, understand that we're a community of learners together that will work to help you together. And, you know, and you're like, I feel like I can say this, but it's so important to know that we're not going to allow anybody to walk on this journey by themselves. So just take that step to give it a try and try something that you never thought you would have liked. You know, it just was there. Right? Think about American Sign Language in terms of just learning the alphabet. Like, it was just there.
Yeah.
And just try it. It's fun. That's the great thing about public education. It's there. It's community supported, state, you know, and funded.
And this is the time to do it.
Absolutely. It's like free. It's free. Yeah.
Take all the classes. Yeah.
I also feel like it's important to like remember there's certainly been AP classes I've taken that I haven't enjoyed as much as like other AP classes, but I think that's what kind of the beauty of it is that's how you really learn like what you enjoy, what you want to do in the future. It's just a way to like figure yourself out at such like, I feel like a developmental like age too. So I don't know, it's really been helpful for me taking so many of those classes. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, thank you both.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Reese and Rhea, for coming on over to our office and spending some time with us. I appreciate your interest in finding out more about Dr. Clarity and your really insightful questions about learning and what learning means to him and what makes Dr. Clarity such a great educator is his interest in always learning. So I appreciate that as well. Any closing thoughts from any of the three of you? Dr. Clarity, anything you'd like to say?
I just want to say to this audience, it's been such an honor to sit and learn from our scholars. Just in this conversation, I got to dig a little bit more into both of you and understanding where you're coming from. And also, anytime I can answer a question, it allows me an opportunity to be reflective to make sure that I'm being the best leader that I can be for you and your journeys. You know, I'm a service-based leader, and anyone listening out there, the moment that you forget that you're in service and education, get out of the field, because that's what we do for a living, is serve others to make sure that the next generation is stronger than this one. So thank you both.
Thank you for this opportunity. It was really nice to like get to know your upbringing and stuff.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a crazy journey.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on In the Loop with the Soup.